Hello and welcome to Spiraling Upwards, where we are in pursuit of real holiness of life as a daily response to grace in the companionship of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the love of God the Father. I am Father Robert Healy, and I am delighted to welcome you to episode 24. Today we will be talking about sacrifice, specifically with regard to the sacrifice at the Mass and the sacrifice which our Lord Jesus Christ offers on our behalf in the heavenly liturgy even today. What do we mean by that? Well, this is very Catholic speak, right? We talk about sacrifice as something which isn't just the slaying of a victim. If your idea of sacrifice is that it's just the killing of a victim, then you need to update your idea of a sacrifice, right? Because what is a sacrifice? If I just go outside and I butcher a cow, am I offering a sacrifice just because I killed a cow? No. What is the key ingredient of a sacrifice? It's not just the killing of a victim. It's an offering. It's a giving up of something which is precious to me. It's a giving over of something. You know, right in the middle of the book of Genesis, when the priest Melchizedek, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, comes and offers sacrifice to Almighty God on behalf of Abraham, he offers bread and wine in sacrifice. That's not a bloody sacrifice. Nor was it a bloody sacrifice when throughout the ancient world, the pagan peoples would take wine and they would pour what they called a libation. You go out on the prow of your ship and you pour a glass of wine, you know, even if it's just tipping it over and pouring some of it and then consuming some of it. This pouring of a libation out into the water as a sacrifice. Why? Because it's good wine and I'm pouring it into the water. This is something done not like the Boston Tea Party as a means of trying to destroy something or thumbing your nose at somebody. This was a way to please. And so the pagans had the idea that a libation or a sacrifice of any sort was a way of pleasing the gods. Well, so did the people of God understand that the sacrifices that God commanded of them throughout the Old Testament were intended to be a pleasing of Him, He who is the one and only, the true God, and the only one who should be receiving sacrifice. The problem with all these pagan sacrifices of old was that they were striving to please false gods, nothingnesses, and in the worst case, demonic forces trying to placate. And so in the sense of the pagan worship, of offering sacrifices, always trying to placate the spirits and placate the elemental powers of the world to make them, try to coerce them into doing our will. The sacrifice of Israel was never like that. It was never merely, you know, we never find our Lord prescribing a sacrifice to His covenantal people that's like, you do this and then I won't smite you and kill you. Even at the Passover, the symbolism of the Passover and slaying the lamb of sacrifice, the symbolism was such as to say, this lamb, as innocent as it is, as sweet as it is, 1 year old and without blemish, is precious to us. And we give this, O Lord, to you in offering, asking you to take it in the place of our firstborn son, that you would give us life through the blood of this lamb. So the blood of the lamb was placed on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house. And the people, all of the people in the family, had to eat the flesh of the lamb. If they were going to be vegetarian and say, I'm not going to eat meat, they were out. They weren't part of the covenant people. They had to eat the flesh of the lamb. They had to actually eat the meat, the flesh of the lamb as part of what our Lord was commanding them to do. And this was because it wasn't simply a way of placating His wrath or doing something, you know, merely legal. It was a sign of love. It was an intention that this giving up of something precious to me and then participating in it by eating the flesh of the lamb, this is now my blood which is on the doorpost and lintel. This is I who have been sacrificed. So I become identified with my sacrificial victim. And in killing this poor, innocent little lamb, the lamb is, I see in myself in that lamb, and I see what ought to happen to myself, and I'm asking the Lord, dear Lord, take this lamb instead of me. Or we find Abraham offering, going up to offer his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And he's going to offer his son Isaac in sacrifice to God because he believes that's what God is asking him to do. And what he does, in fact, is offer his son. He does everything but kill him. He freely obeys, even to the point of not withholding his son from God. And God says, this is a pleasing sacrifice. I do not want you to harm the boy. You're offering him to me. And now I will provide the lamb that is to take his place. And so that ram is caught with its horns are caught in a thicket, and it is taken and it is offered in Isaac's place. And this teaches Abraham and all of his descendants, both of blood and descendants by faith, it teaches them that the essence of sacrifice is not the slaying of that which I offer. It's the act of love and the willing surrender. And that's supposed to be there in any act of sacrifice. In fact, what we see our Lord condemning again and again in the Old Testament is the idea of sacrifices which are done with no love at all. Your words honor me, your deeds, you know, you offer these sacrifices, but they're odious to me because you have no love for me. You say all the right things, you do all the right things, you offer the victim, and yet you do it with such contempt for me that I'm not pleased. And so God is demanding a living sacrifice, that sacrifice of my own will that is supposed to be symbolized by the offering up of the immolated lamb. So what we might say, the essence of sacrifice is the voluntary giving up of something precious to me to God. It's voluntary because I do it. And I do it freely. I don't do it out of habit. I don't do it simply because, well, you know, I could do no less. I have to breathe, so I'm going to breathe. You know, I need to eat, so I'm going to kill a lamb. No, it's a voluntary action. It's giving up something. The whole notion of sacrificing a lamb was that this lamb is being offered to God. And it's no longer running around in my flock. I have to give it up. I can't hold on to it, even though it might grow bigger, even though it might grow into, you know, provide more meat or provide for more sheep coming down the way. But I'm giving it up out of love for God. And then the third is something precious to me, that which I'm giving up. And finally, to God, he to whom I am making the sacrifice. And so we see immediately that a sacrifice does not have to be a bloody sacrifice to be a sacrifice. It was not a bloody sacrifice for Melchizedek to offer bread and wine, any more than it would be a bloody sacrifice in some as Homer describes when the Greeks are standing on the ship and they're pouring out libations, where they're taking their glass and they're pouring the wine out into the water to try to placate the God Poseidon, you know. Well, this is a false act of worship to a false God, but the act itself is actually pretty good, because the whole notion is, this is really good wine, and I could be drinking it and delighted by it and inebriated by it. Instead, I'm pouring it out, and I'm showing whatever God that I'm trying to talk to, whatever God I'm trying to placate, I'm trying to show that God that this, you matter more to me, and the protection that you offer me matters more to me even than this really good wine. Okay, so the whole notion of a sacrifice is not just that it's bloody, it's that it's a gift, and that I'm voluntarily gifting this something precious to me to God, and I'm giving it to him in such a way that is no longer for my uses and for my purposes. Now, in that gift, there is the immolation of the sacrifice, especially when we're talking about the sacrifice of a lamb. Again, looking in the Old Testament, looking at what was required in the temple every year. The lamb of sacrifice had to be immolated. Its blood had to be shed. This is the giving up. This is the giving over to God. But then there was something else that had to be done, the offering, that lamb had to be offered to God. And in that offering, this here we find the interior action where we take that which we have just done and we give it with all our will. Together with myself, I give this to God. Now, what our Lord does in becoming the Paschal Lamb, he becomes the Lamb of all lambs. He reveals to us that none of those lambs who died, which died all through the time of years and years and decades of decades of sacrifices in the temple, even though that was according to the express command of God, all of those sacrifices were pointing to something to come. They were pointing to that sacrificial lamb whose death would actually redeem the world. They themselves, none of those lambs, the blood of bullocks and of goats and lambs can't take away human sin, because human beings commit that sin, and a lamb is incapable of committing sin. But what happens? What happens when I offer if I were back in the Old Testament times, what would happen when I'm offering this lamb to God? I'm making a sign of something. I'm showing my desire to offer a victim to God in my place, B, who is innocent, C, who is perfectly pleasing to God in a way that I'm not, that has not done anything to offend him. And I'm asking him to take this lamb's life in place of my own, not just as a legal substitute, but as a sign of my repentance and the desire that I have from here out to live as belonging to God, as someone who has died to myself and is living for God. And now this whole symbol becomes alive with the real blood of the real lamb and the shedding of his blood and the giving of his body when he says, this is my body and this is my blood. The Mass is intended to be, and this is why we refer to it as, a sacrifice. Because the sacrifice is the giving of the sacrificial victim to God, voluntarily. Now, how does this all have to do with the Ascension? The Ascension, which we celebrate tomorrow, the Ascension is this act of offering on the part of our Lord. He has suffered, he has died, he has risen. And now he needs to do one more thing to complete the sacrifice. He needs to ascend to his Father and give him everything. He ascends body and soul into heaven in order to present to his Heavenly Father on our behalf everything, every thought, every word, every deed, everything he didn't do, everything he did do on our behalf, and to offer all of that as a pleasing sacrifice to his Father. And what we see, what we witness at every single Mass in shadows, in forms, is a participation in this mystery. This is why even the texts of the Mass speak of the Mass as being the fulfillment of all of these things. We see, therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the blessed Passion, the resurrection from the dead, and the glorious ascension into heaven of Christ, your Son, our Lord, we, your servants and your holy people, offer to your glorious majesty from the gifts that you have given us this pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim, the holy bread of eternal life and the chalice of everlasting salvation. What is being expressed in these beautiful and powerful words coming from the heart of the Eucharistic prayer of the Roman canon? It is expressing that the sacrifice which Christ offers on our behalf before his Heavenly Father from the moment that he ascended into heaven through now into eternity, that perfect offering we get to participate in. This is why the Mass is a sacrifice. It's not because we're killing Jesus again. No, no, no. We are offering Jesus again. We are giving the gift.